The regular meeting of the Central Air and Sanitation Agency's Board of Commissioners for Tuesday, October 8th. And we may stand and say the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we take roll call, please.
Okay. Commissioner DiGiovanni?
Here.
Commissioner Boorstein?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Kelly?
I'm here.
Dan Hilmer, not here. Mary Beth Bushy, not here yet. And Sloan Bailey?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, item three. This is an open period for public participation, and these are for items that are not on the board's agenda tonight, and the board will not discuss or take any action during the open time, but board members may ask questions. Is there anyone here to speak in public?
If I may, sir.
Please. Yes.
I've just come here. I'm Larry Laporte from Marin Airporter, and I've come here just to say on behalf of Marin Airporter and Marin Transit and our drivers and our passengers, I would like to thank the commissioners, and I would like to thank the general manager and his team for making available the space here at the CMSA for our bus parking. It's going very, very well. We came in on September 23rd and started using it. The reaction from our drivers has been fabulous. They're pleased to have room to maneuver their buses, and the location works extremely well for them with our Airporter terminal just down the road. They can stop and over there and get a cup of coffee and use the restroom on their way up to their routes. So everything's working just as well as we could have hoped. And I really especially would like to thank Jason for his efforts in organizing the site, some of the installations that needed to be done, and quite frankly, for making us feel very welcome here. So thank you all for being prepared to think outside the box and do this.
That was a win-win. I think that was really good. Sloan, just to keep you up to date or get you on day, there's some empty space in the back. The Airporter needs some room, so they put some gates up, and they're paying a fee to the CMSA, which comes back to the ratepayers. They get what's good for their drivers, and it was just a great spirit of cooperation. Michael facilitated that, some of that in the beginning, and so it was a great idea.
Nice work.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
And we're very happy to help out another public agency, although you aren't the public agency. You certainly represent them very well, and we're happy to help out in our greater effort in the Marin County.
It is much appreciated. Thank you.
All right.
See you think you should get the
Dan's
Mercer's.
Get Dan's candy.
When are they talking about getting electric buses?
I think it's, there is talk of it. My guess, if I had to guess, is we're probably talking, 5 years or more down the line.
So maybe if you're still here, parking the buses here at that point, we can set up a charging station out there, and then we can power off what we have inside of here.
Definitely look into it. We have extra renewable power, sure. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, item four is the consent calendar, and we will move all items A through I in one motion. Is there anyone who has any issues with any of the items and would like to discuss them?
Only thing is, I'm just so you're aware, I will abstain from sub A. The minutes because I wasn't here and I didn't ask anybody, so but otherwise that was the only just be aware when you do the vote.
So if you abstain, we can't approve the minutes.
Why don't we pull that? So item first?
We
have
pull
the item, we have a quorum and then we have a majority of quorum.
It has to be four in our GTA.
I'd like to pull
you can still vote for
A and,
vote.
And move.
If you'd like, Doug, I can handle it in this way. May I speak just briefly?
Yes, you may.
Have you looked at the minutes yourself? Are you satisfied that they accurately represent what happened?
Yes.
Okay, I'll vote for it.
There's one item, though I was going to pull item A anyway.
Okay.
Because I have one edit that I'd like to
then
make.
Then let's do this. I move to approve items B through I.
I'll second that.
All
in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
There we go.
Sounds good. Okay. Item A. I had on item number 5 of the last of the meeting minutes, the second to last paragraph that reads, Chair DiGiovanni agreed that it was somewhat such a decision, but the decision to contribute to CalPERS, at that point, I'd like it to change that to reflect more what I said and the intent of what I said, would be that the decision to contribute to CalPERS was a policy decision. Hold on, let me see here. Okay. Decision. But the decision was a policy decision to participate in CalPERS retirement only, and not Social Security, comma, was made by the original board at the inception of the agency. Period. And then you could go on to say, and agency's financial obligation with participation in this plan is minimal. Here. So I can give that to you afterwards to accurately reflect what was said in the intent.
Okay.
So with Mary Beth now here, we can, I'll entertain a motion to approve minutes.
I entertain a motion to approve minutes.
We move to approve the motion. Is that second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
On to item 5. This is a public hearing for the proposed fee ordinance 2019-1 entitled An Ordinance Relating to Fee Schedules for Capacity Chargers, Waste Haulers, and Industrial Monitoring. And this is a recommendation to conduct the public hearing. The proposed fee ordinance, pass the ordinance, and authorize publication of a summary of the past ordinance in the Marin Independent Journal newspaper.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So at the September board meeting, we reviewed staff proposed revisions to the 2016-1 ordinance. And those now are summarized on page 1 of the staff report. They're shown in the attached proposed ordinance in red text. Nothing has changed from the revisions that we looked at last time. So at the September meeting, the board approved the proposed revisions, and they authorized the public hearing for tonight. So after that was done, we prepared a summary of the proposed ordinance, and that was published in the Marin IJ paper on October 1st through 3rd. And we had not received any comments or questions from the public about any content of the ordinance. And with that, you know, the staff recommends conducting the hearing and considering passing the ordinance. And if the ordinance is passed, then we will publish a summary of the past ordinance with who voted for, against it, and abstained in the IJ newspaper within 5 days of passage. Then the ordinance will take effect 30 days after its passage. So that would be November 8th. I can answer any questions on any of the proposed revisions in the ordinance.
Just to be clear, this is a second reading.
It's the equivalent of
the second
reading.
Has changes from the first reading. Yeah.
No changes.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Got it.
Yeah, it's identical to what was in the first reading.
Okay. All good.
I did hear from one member of the public just regarding the clarification on the effective date and also how the capacity charges that have already went into effect automatically on July 1st, that this is not, and Jason clarified for me that this is not in any conflict with those with the date of November 8th and those capacity charges that went into effect on July 1st.
That's correct.
So, Chair, ready for a motion?
I am ready for a motion, please.
I move that that we pass the ordinance and authorize publication of a summary of the ordinance in the Marin Independent Journal.
Second. Yeah. Any discussion? Just a point of order, I guess. Am I opening and closing the public hearing on this?
Yeah, you should probably do that. That's a good point.
I will open the public hearing on it. Seeing no one in the audience to discuss this matter, I will close the public hearing.
It could be wearing Halloween costumes.
It could be. That's
disability cloak. Disability cloak.
Okay. But you have to come visible.
Okay.
And with a voice. So, public hearing is closed. And we have a motion and a second to approve the ordinance. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Great. Thank you.
Item 6, this is the alternate retirement plan for temporary and part-time employees. It's a recommendation to adopt Resolution 339 to authorize adoption of the CARS Trust alternative retirement plan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is a continued discussion from the September board meeting where staff gave a presentation and Mitch Barker, who is the vice president with PARS is in attendance and gave you a handout, and he also gave a presentation, answer board questions. Essentially what it is for periodically we have employees that aren't eligible to participate in our CalPERS retirement system. And we've been a member of CalPERS since our first employees joined the agency. But now that we have students and college interns at the agency, and we have retired annuitants, and at some point we may have part-time employees that work less than 20 hours per week, they are not eligible for CalPERS. So they would be participating in Social Security. So the PARS program, specifically this alternate retirement plan, which is one of many of PARS's retirement programs, would be applicable for those employee classifications that are not eligible for CalPERS retirement. So this is discretionary. The board can approve this or not approve it. Those employees would stay in Social Security. So at the last meeting, there was a lot of good discussion about this item. And a key point that was made at the end of the discussion was that this isn't necessarily a policy issue for this board, because the original board back in 1981 made the policy decision to participate solely in CalPERS and not also in Social Security. So this is kind of a continuation of that for these periodic small group of employee classifications. So as we talked about last time, it's a benefit. There could be a cost savings benefit to the agency. There is definitely a benefit to these employee classifications. So what we have done since the September meeting is Ken contacted about 5 cities that were listed in the PARS publication that are participants. I contacted the CSC NRFL and the Oraloma Sanitary District, and I could speak from the people I talked with that they said they've been members of the PARS program for quite a while, that there's no issues with it, they haven't encountered any problems with it, that PARS provides really good service, they administer the program really effectively. And those seasonal employees and others, they like it. There wasn't any negative comments from the 7 local agencies we talked to. And that's really the end of the staff report. I could answer any easy questions you have, but I think a lot of it was covered by, last month with Mitch. So if the board would like us to participate, we need to pass the resolution and authorize me to sign the agreement. And then we will go ahead and do that, and we'll set it up for those employee classifications that aren't eligible to participate in the CalPERS retirement.
Who'd you speak to at Sanofi?
I exchanged emails with my friend Jim Schutz, the city manager.
Sounds great. Thanks for the additional due diligence. I'm prepared to move to item 1 to the chair is ready.
One last thing is the city of Santa Fe has this really nice fact sheet that they hand out to their those particular groups of employees. So I'd probably just copy their fact sheet with CMSA on it and use this. It's really, really good information here.
It's good thing I didn't put a copyright on that. So.
We've got a great city manager, so things get done well there.
That's for sure, yeah.
It's the board's decision to what the ratio of participation is going to be between CMSA and the employee that we have to select tonight as well.
That's correct. I didn't cover that. That's important. So we approve participation. The next decision is what's the contribution level. The minimum level in PARS is 7.5%. Social Security is 12.4%. City of San Rafael and Oral Loma Sanitary, who I talked with, they participated at the minimum level, 7.5%. City of San Rafael, they share that contribution equally, so 3.75% for the city and for the employee. I would recommend just following what City of San Rafael does. It makes sense. And that way, it's a savings to the agency and the employee.
Rock solid logic.
I hear they have a good city manager.
So, as rules of order here, then we pass the ordinance, then have discussion on the participation, right? Or do we do that now?
Well, we would adopt the resolution, and then we would select the minimum contribution, and then you could select the allocation between the agency. It will be done in one motion, or you can break into three, however you'd like.
I like the one motion.
So I'm unclear on the three. I got to pass it. I got the contribution of the level, and then how we're going to do it. Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So one more time. The minimum contribution level was 7.5. So I move to adopt the alternate retirement plan for temporary and part-time employees. Agree to pay a minimum of 7.5, and agree that the employer will pay 3.75, and the employee will pay 3.75.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Okay, discussion?
We probably should clarify on the record that there was opportunity and no public comment.
Mm-hmm. So clear.
We should open up to the public.
Pardon?
The public hearing. We don't need to do a public hearing because there's no public.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Did I second that?
That was a second, yeah.
Okay.
No discussion. Okay. So we're ready to vote on this?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
All opposed? No. Okay. Very good. Motion passes.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Item number 7 is the new cogeneration system selection and pre-purchase agreement. And this is a recommendation to approve the selection of the cogen system supplier based on the proposal analysis.
Here's a different recommendation here, too. There's a handout for you all, too, which I mentioned in the staff report that I've been doing tonight. And this is more concise information with a specific recommendation, and there's a memo from our design engineer Prolo that's attached.
So this, let me rephrase the subject and the recommendation then, is that to select Western Energy Systems to supply the new cogen system and to authorize the GM to negotiate and sign the final cogen system pre-purchase agreement. Cool.
Hey, thank you. So as you recall that, we started the final design for the cogeneration system installation project back in the late spring, I think it was a June meeting, with approving the final design contract with Crowell Engineers. And at the time, we also, that was May, and at the time the board also approved that concurrently we prepare a request for proposal pre-purchase package and send that to equipment vendors that meet the minimum energy efficiency requirements for a cogeneration system. So we have two parallel activities happening. And the reason that we recommended and the board approved the pre-purchase RFP and selection of an engine cogeneration system supplier is to shorten the project duration. Normally what would happen is you would have, here's the RFP document that we sent out. This, normally all these technical specifications would be part of the construction contract documents. Then once we awarded the contractor, general contractor, he would select or she would select a cogeneration system supplier and all the ancillary supporting equipment. Then we'd have to go through the submittal review process before we issued, you know, notice to proceed to purchase that, and the contract goes out, and that takes 9 months. So by doing it concurrent, when the final design is completed and we go out through public bidding and we have an award recommendation for the board, we'll already have the purchase order for the cogeneration system, you know, sent to, you know, the supplier that we select. And by the time the contractor mobilizes on site, the engines, you know, and support systems are either en route from Europe or they're being manufactured. So we save a lot of project time and duration. So that's the reason why we did it. So we were approved, that was approved by the board. Then at the July meeting, we brought the selection criteria to the board for review and discussion. And that was a good discussion, and they approved the selection criteria. Then we had point ranges for those criteria. So our intent was to receive proposals in September, review those, and have the selection recommendation for the board tonight. So that way, in the next several weeks, we'd have the contract finalized, have the purchase order and the agreement ready to give to the selected vendor, and move forward with them preparing all the submittal documents and provide those to us. Then us giving to the design engineer to review and finalize, you know, all the details of the design, the equipment selection. So that's all going according to schedule. So tonight, you know, we've completed, well, as of Friday afternoon, we completed the evaluation process. And the proposals that were submitted by the two suppliers, which was Western Energy Systems, and their supplier for Genbacher, which is a cogeneration engine that's manufactured in Austria. And the second is Peterson Caterpillar, and that is supplied out of Germany. And those are the two system suppliers in the world that meet the minimum energy efficiency requirements that we identified in the technical specifications. So it was good we got two proposals. So Carollo did the technical review, our staff assisted and looked at some of the other, you know, non-technical matters. And that, a summary of that review is in the Carollo memo that's attached to the handout staff report. So in short, both vendors met the pass and fail requirements in the RFP document. And they supplied, you know, enough technical information for us to do a thorough evaluation. There were several exceptions made by both of the suppliers. You know, our engineering staff with Carollo went through the exceptions, had conference calls with the suppliers, and worked out all the details, and everything I've been told is fine. And on page one, you see the cost summary. So the capital cost, just the cost to buy everything, and that includes several components. Those components are shown in one of the attachments. That's delivered to CMSA. It's for preparing and delivering submittals and going through that submittal review process. It's systems with delivery, installation, startup, training, testing, emissions, you know, calibration, and buying all the equipment. So Western Energy, the Genbacher, that's $1.5 million. Peterson Power is a little under $2.4 million. Then as one of the criteria, too, we wanted to determine what's the net present value over assumed 20-year life of the system for all the maintenance work. So each system has different maintenance schedules. So there's, you know, spark plug and oil change schedule. There's lower-end rebuild schedule, upper-end rebuild schedule, major overhaul schedules. So we have that information from each supplier and know how much those cost. That was built into a 20-year model, which I looked at briefly. It's a very complex model that was used. And that rolls up into the second row in the table. So the present value for the Genbacher system is $1.9 million, while Peterson Power is $2.8 million. So the total for both is $3.4 versus $5.2. So staff's recommendation is to select Western Water Systems, who supply the Genbacher system and all the ancillary equipment that's listed in the technical specifications, and also to purchase the extended warranty, which is another $49,000. Everything comes with a one-year warranty on all the equipment and components. This would add two additional years to the warranty. So that includes all the preventative maintenance activities for the engine for two additional years. So to talk with our maintenance staff, they think that is that's worthwhile. And Peterson's equipment comes with a two-year warranty, but they don't offer anything beyond that. So we thought it's worthwhile to pay the $49,000 to have a three-year warranty for the Western Water Supply equipment. Then Carollo provides their evaluation materials, all the assumptions in the evaluation, and they have some supporting documents which are pretty well developed and explain things very well. So in terms of the fiscal impact, you could look at page 2 of the handout staff report. So you see in the capital plan right now, we have 7.35 approximately million dollars for all the costs associated with this project. So if we were to award it to West Energy Solutions, that's the first line item in the table. So that's the pre-purchase cost, then there's the warranty. The final design contract with Corollo, that's already been approved by the board, that's $545. We have an allowance of $243 for engineering services during construction. That number will probably be quite a bit lower since most of the activity during prior to construction is reviewing technical specifications and the submittals associated with that. That's being done during the final design phase is that contract. Then we have allowance for construction management support, then allowance for various contingencies. Then when you add all that up and subtract it from the capital amount in the budget, there's $4.47 million as an allowance for the installation contract with the general contractor. And we'd have that number tightened up pretty soon. When the 50% design comes out, we'll see what that number looks like. Then that'll be revised to the final design. And then we can revisit this to see if we have enough money in the capital plan. Since most of the equipment's being pre-purchased and there's no structural work, no excavation, shoring, anything like that, 4.4, I would assume, would be enough to install the engine and all the support systems and ancillary equipment and interconnect everything and go through startup. But I'll have a better sense of that once we're closer to the end of final design.
What would we pay per year in energy costs without a cogen system?
Oh, that depends on the energy cost and, you know, the demand charges. But if we didn't have a cogen at all, we were buying 100% of our power from Marine Clean Energy with Deep Green, you know, it'd be between $1.2 and $1.4 million.
Okay. And how much do we think we're going to be making? Again, I know we talked about this from Marine Clean Energy by selling the power.
I don't have a good number on that for this engine. For the current engine, which is a 750-kilowatt engine, and assuming these are rough numbers, assuming our average energy demand throughout the year is 625 kilowatts, we could sell, I think we put this in our power purchase agreement, 1.3 million kilowatt hours for the year. You times that by 10 cents per kilowatt hour, potentially $130,000 with the current engine. But this engine
is bigger, obviously.
Yeah, so we have a lot more capacity, but it is about 20% more efficient than the current engine. So what that means is for the same amount of biogas that we're using as fuel, you get 20% more runtime with the current engine, or output with the current engine. So, for example, if this one was installed tomorrow, and we hit the start button and it started running, we'd be energy self-sufficient just like that, and we'd start selling power continuously with the same biogas feed.
I kind of lost track of where we are with this project and our recent shipping the replacement
yeah.
Cogen generator across the country.
Yeah.
So are we going to tear out that one and put this one in, or we're going to have two?
We're going to have two.
Okay.
So our building right now has
one running at a time.
Yeah. So our building right now has three bays. And one bay is an emergency diesel power generator, only for when PG&E power is out, we can't run the cogen. But now we can with our new interconnection agreement. Second bay is empty, and the third bay has a 750 kW unit in it.
That we just fixed.
Okay. So this would go in the middle bay, and the way it's being designed is that they cannot run concurrently.
So you can, because there's an MCE limit.
You could, there's a CPUC limit on that, and there's also the programming and interconnection between the two would be much more complex on the design and construction side. So we said, let's keep that simple right now, given the power purchase agreement limits and the CPUC limits. Let's just have the 995 run, and if it can't run due to maintenance or whatever, then we'll run the 750. Then if regulations change in the future, and if we can even have that much, megawatts going out to PG&E system without major improvements, we can look into that in the future. But this, we're keeping completely separate. Both operational through our process control system, but they can't, there'll be interlocks in the computer program, so they can't run at the same time. But the refurbished engine is running just beautiful. It just completed its 500-hour break-in period. And plant demand has been low, so we've been exporting a lot of power. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole issue with that I'll talk about later.
Okay, we make up for all that power we had to buy.
It'll take a while. Yeah. We're tracking on that.
Okay. Well, everything helps.
Yeah. So we started selling energy, Marine Grant Energy, and an hour later, our cogen system blew up. We were already in the process of buying a new one.
Okay. Isn't that Murphy's Law?
It is.
Yeah. Can I ask one question about this,
please?
So I don't have any problem with the concept or your engineer's decision-making or any of it. The question I have was one of process, which is, does the agency have attorneys who have checked the sequencing by which the project was put out to bid and the methodology by which the project delivery mechanism was chosen and all that? It's something I happen to do outside my role in the public office, and it can be very tricky, and I couldn't follow the sequence by when you were describing it now, but I just to feel reassured, do you have an attorney who for the agency who like looks at that process and makes sure that it's copacetic?
If this was a kind of a new process we haven't done before, we would consult with our contract attorney. But we went through a similar process a few times in the past where we've pre-purchased a major piece of equipment.
Right.
And then it was called owner-delivered equipment to the general contractor. So then in the construction documents, we informed the general contractor that CMSC will be providing this equipment, and then on the drawings we show what we'll provide, and we identify that in the contract documents, and then we either assign them that pre-purchase contract, or we keep that, and we're the owners of the contract, and we have specific language in the contract where they're required to coordinate with the supplier for all these different activities.
Okay, I mean, if what you're saying is that you have put out identical projects, even if the actual component is different or whatever, but that the methodology has been the same and you simply followed that track record, I'm fine with it. But just so you're aware, there are a couple terms you're using there which made me cautious. For example, there's this thing called a sole specification. If you put out a project to bid and you say you have to use this specific thing, it immediately triggers a variety of certain legal obligations.
Right? Yeah.
And the other thing is, it sounded like what in the industry they might call a performance specification. In other words, it's like a mishmash or a mold. It's not uncommon, but between something that's part of a design build process as opposed to the classic design bid build process. And those different delivery mechanisms can make a real difference. I'm happy to go with you. I just want you to tell me that somebody has thought through the contract bid package as well as the sequencing by which you award the contract.
Sure. So we're using a standard model that we use. We've never done design build. So for a construction contract, we always use design, bid, and build. So we go through that, those sequential steps. For this particular, this is essentially equipment purchase contract, so it's not covered under the contract code.
I thought there was installation.
Not here.
Oh, okay.
This is just purchase. There's requirements in many of the technical specifications where they have to be available for so many, person hours to coordinate with the general contractor when the general contractor installs it. Because the general contractor may have questions about certain things. So we're telling the general contractor, okay, you talk with the supplier to clarify those questions.
And what part of that are you asking us to vote for tonight? What part of that process are we approving?
So tonight we're asking two things. One is to select the purchase of the cogeneration system equipment.
Essentially the purchase order itself.
Yeah, from Western Energy.
Equipment itself.
Yeah.
Okay, but not the installation.
No, that's a whole... Okay. That's a public contract. That's a completely different process.
So number one is to pick that. What was the second thing?
And then it's to authorize me to negotiate and sign the purchase agreement.
Okay, agreed in all respects.
That was the public request for proposals? on the cogeneration system, which he only got two bids on, but it was put out to the public.
Yeah, it was not. Companies. There was no sole sourcing involved. We're very.
What we did is we chose the size of the cogenerator.
Yeah.
We decided exactly that because for different reasons. Some of it is our agreement with Marine Clean Energy.
And especially for a unique entity like this, there are lots of reasons when a sole spec would make perfect sense. I just wanted somebody to bless it before we approved it.
We did. In two of the technical specs, we did sole source specific pieces of equipment as part of the system package. And we're familiar with the four provisions in the contract code that allow you to sole source. We just verified with our contract attorney. One was standardizing on existing equipment here for maintenance and inventory.
Thank you. I didn't mean to go too deep on that.
Fine.
I just wanted
It's good. It's good questions. Very good.
It's all good.
Okay.
And our construction attorney, contract attorney, he worked with me on all the front-end documents, the supplemental conditions, the general conditions, the agreements, the cost proposal form and all that.
About the forms you typically use or the ones for this specific project?
Forms that we used back in 2005 when we purchased a very similar engine that we modified and updated, you know, for this particular contract.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any further questions or comments? I think you and your staff did a solid job on getting this out there and getting a good specification together to get the right criteria in there and to get a good solid piece of equipment and actually get two competitive bids from some very quality suppliers in the industry and. I'm ready to move this forward. I'm happy with the recommended supplier of Western Energy Systems, and I would move a motion to
motion. So moved.
I will do the recommendation.
So a motion to select Western Energy Systems
as a cogeneration system supplier and authorize the general manager to negotiate and sign the final cogeneration system pre-purchase agreement.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Excellent. Thank you very much. Our engineering staff will be very happy tomorrow.
And thank you all for the very good questions, Storm. Something that we take. We vet out a lot as sole sourcing and the whole contracting process. So a lot of good experiences.
It's easy to get slipped up on that kind of thing, too. You know?
Right. And we should always have answers ready and needed. So, good. Keep on your toes.
I like about this, and I think you mentioned this, is, you know, at the point that we have limits to how much energy we'll be allowed to sell to more clean energy based on the price they gave us, and it's 5-year limit on how much power. But it doesn't mean we couldn't, as you suggested, put some electric powering stations back there should transportation MTC and or the airport have electric buses. We could charge them.
The way it worked, we would just you know, interconnect those charging facilities with a local distribution panel, so then it would just be part of our internal demand, just added internal demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you could always talk about submetering and charging them.
Oh, well, that's what we do, definitely. A little more than Wrinkly Energy pays for, it's right.
Right, we'd have to get a profit out of it.
Yeah.
No, that's all good, very good suggestions for down the road. Yeah. Okay, item number 8. This is accepting the completion of the primary clarifier gate rehabilitation project. It's a recommendation to accept as complete and authorize the GM to file notice of completion.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This the project, you know, went very smooth. The general contractor, Bartley Pump, they worked well with our staff. They performed, you know, good work on site. The project's pretty much wrapped up. Everything's installed properly. It's been connected up with our process control system, and our staff now is testing things out. And it's ready for acceptance complete. If it's approved, we'll file the notice of completion with Marin County.
And we save $5,000 in a change order.
Yeah, yep, that's right. We save $5,000.
On time and under budget.
Actually, I said that yesterday when we met, and apparently it wasn't quite on time, but it was under budget.
Yeah, the sole-sourced no-torque operators, they took a lot longer to be delivered on site than the distributor told us when we were, you know, designing the project. Like, you know, 6 weeks longer. So we had a construction schedule, and we had to extend that out, you know, I think it was up to almost 2 months, just to accommodate the late delivery of the equipment. So it wasn't caused by the general contractor. Yeah.
It's always nice if you can do both of those, but I am sure that if you ask the ratepayer which they'd like, on time or under budget, they'd go for the under budget every time.
I wasn't aware there was any project in the history of the state that was on time and on budget. So, nice work.
Not quite there, but
All right. I'm ready to move that we accept the primary clarifier skates rehabilitation project as complete.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Movie time?
We have item number 9 as to receive the presentation of the agency's organic waste and power delivery programs. There is an attached presentation that Jason gave at the WEFTEC conference in Chicago a couple months ago. A couple weeks ago, and he's prepared to give a motion picture presentation. If all would like to see it,
or we could just take a look at the handout here. And
Jason very diplomatically said, I had asked staff and very kindly our chair whether did the agency ever consider, in lieu of presentations, just submitting on the materials, since commonly our time is best served when we just have information relative to something that we have a decision on. But there are lots of times when it's helpful to present things because we see a problem coming in the future. So I will defer. If everybody wants to see it, great. I was thinking also you've been reasonably efficient. I was apprehensive we were going to be here till very late tonight and was wondering if we might find a way to shorten the meeting, but it's moved along expeditiously. So whatever you want to do. I thank you, though, for diplomatically putting that out there. I had asked, could we get rid of the presentation?
That's okay, Sloan. That's okay. Most of us have lived through all of this, so it's not news. However, this is a really good presentation. I was wondering if we should be putting it on our website.
We could do that, for sure.
As a sort of, you know, what we're doing. Because we've all lived through it, but not everyone has. And I'm really proud of CMSA. And every time I talk to environmentalist groups, I always talk about CMSA, and they're like, what's that? And I always tell them I think it's the agency doing the most to protect the environment in Marin County.
Thanks for saying that.
It's true. It's very easy to say that because it's true. And this helps, having that up there. I think we can deem ourselves informed about this and move on.
So you're good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Doug and Michael, when we get together next month, I can show it to you guys separately.
You have a couple more questions.
I'm fine with the presentation. I think it's an excellent presentation. There's always more said in between the bullets of the words on the page, but what I would ask that things in the net, as we move forward with our project, that each of these elements that you have presented here, maybe you highlight as we go through.
Sure, definitely.
This is what I would like for tonight, that you briefly touched on yesterday, was the reaction of the people that you met with at the conference, looking at such a little agency as ours being one of the most progressive in the nation. And what was your feelings about what was being said?
Well, I always tell them we're medium sized. I didn't say we're small. For the Bay Area, we're medium sized. There's some huge agencies back on the East Coast. But, everybody was really impressed. One, that we receive, you know, food waste and process food waste with these little organics, and that we went through the process to get authorization to deliver power and set for sale, and that we're pretty close to being energy self-sufficient. it seemed, you know, from, so I was in, I spoke during one workshop on a Saturday. It was organic, you know, material processing and stuff like that. Some was really technical and some was like case studies. So I was one of the case studies. On Sunday, I was in a workshop that was energy neutrality. So it was all about energy production, energy savings, energy production. And in that one in particular, you know, there's not many agencies in the country that receive, you know, these other materials and become energy self-sufficient through on-site generation. Even on-site generation coupled with, you know, large solar installations. But it's dependent on the agency. Sometimes some agencies are huge. They have massive collection systems, a lot of pump stations. They have nutrient removal facilities. They have, you know, additional, you know, digestion facilities for higher quality biosols, and all that takes a lot of extra energy. There's some agencies that are doing a great job. They're very progressive, more so than us. But just the size of the agency and all the additional requirements they have for their local, you know, air permits and, you know, discharge water effluent permits, they're just, you know, they're just not close to energy neutrality, just because of all the huge demand they have. But yeah, a lot of great, Chicago was beautiful. It rained the whole time until the day I left, and it was nice. And it was a great workshops. And the conference is like from Monday through Thursday, the only session. I was there for the workshops on Saturday and Sunday, so I left on Monday. But it looks like it's a good conference too, because they had this exhibition hall that was like three Costcos in size inside, and there were vendors, and they each had a space about the side of this room. And they had, you know, all kinds of equipment. So they had like a nice, they put down tile floor, and there's walkways around it. And then you had benches and seats, maybe like movies being displayed, their equipment. And there were, the big Vactor truck was sitting there, and they had people demonstrating how the Vactor truck works. It'd be just interesting just to go through the exhibition halls and look at all the equipment. Not me, of course, our maintenance staff to do that. But it's an annual technology and exhibition conference. But I was just glad to be invited, you know, part of the organic waste, you know, workshop. That was pretty cool.
Well, good job.
Thank you for
representing as well.
Yes.
Okay. Then moving on to item number 10. Is it informational items by the general manager?
Yeah, nothing to really report on here. You can answer any questions if you have any.
And the North Bay Watershed Association report. Michael.
Well, we went on a field trip. When the fires happened a couple years ago that swept through Santa Rosa, Napa. The reaction of the population after the fires was, how quickly can we make things come back to normal? And the idea was, let's plant everything fast. What grows fast? Let's just do it. And a bunch of environmentalists other agencies, NGOs around the area, and the North Bay Watershed said, time out. There's a reason why California has Oakland, Thousand Oaks, Oakville, Oak this, Oak the other. And oaks in this state, I believe the number is, are down 90% from what they were in 1800, is the estimate. And so the thing was, wait a minute, let's plant that which has survived here for millennium. And so there was a whole project, and it's called Reoaking the Oaks. And through North Bay Watershed Association, we are supporting that, and they gave a lot of money to this Reoaking the Oaks. And we went and saw the first project. It's not completed, but they've replanted one property in Kenwood with 150 oaks. And you have to be careful with an oak, because you have to keep them separated. And there's different kinds of oaks. There's like 80 different kinds of oaks. There's live oak, valley oak, lots of different oaks. And some of the people there knew all the Latin names of them. which was very impressive. But they have different methods of doing it, and the method that seems to be working the most effectively there is that they take a metal, a steel, iron mesh, and they put it down into the ground, and the mesh comes all the way up and then around, and then they put a drip water supply next to it, and you take an acorn, you don't bury it, you just, as it falls off the tree, just put it down. If it's got water and it's got ground underneath it, it sends a tube down.
Dapper.
Yeah, 10 feet approximately at the beginning, and to, so that it gets water immediately from its environment. And they're finding that doing that method, they're getting about a 70% survival rate. At the beginning, they came in with from nurseries with little bitty oak trees, but they were only having about a 15 to 20% rate of acceptance because they don't. These trees with the mesh start growing once the root goes down. Those other trees have no roots, but they've already got a tree, and so it's not. It wasn't getting enough water and nutrients from the soil that it's going to encounter as it goes down. Anyway, so it's very sweet, and they're getting about a 70% survival rate, and they're going for it all over everywhere. And what's kind of cool is that they put out a call to all the residents, bring your acorns, put them in a bag, and bring us the leaves from the tree, so we can identify exactly what kind of acorns they are. Because you don't want, like for instance, there are Oregon oaks as far south as this, but they don't do as well down here as they do up in Oregon, so you don't want to plant Oregon oaks here. Anyway, it was just very good, and that's what we did. We went and played in the field.
It's fascinating.
It's very good.
You know, that brings to mind something I heard about. Have you ever heard of the Billion Oyster Project?
I don't think so.
Okay. So in New York City, they have a project called the Billion Oyster Project. They're collecting oyster shells from restaurants. They're planting oysters, creating on farms in them. They want to put a billion oysters back in Manhattan Harbor, which, by the way, I'm from New York. The Hudson River is so insanely much cleaner than when I was a kid. They actually have whales in New York City Harbor these days now. They haven't had those in, I think, 80 years. An oyster can clean something like 5 gallons of water a day or now. I don't remember which was. So the billion oysters is sort of like a self-cleaning. And so somehow we got to get something going like that in San Francisco Bay like that. It should be, you know, a $2 billion project. But anyway, just a thought that you know, you can use nature to heal nature.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, they started something like that out here at the end of the Rod Gun Club pier.
Yeah.
They started planting
the eelgrass and
the oyster beds.
Berkeley's doing like an experiment, and their first year or two was successful, so now they've got more. Anyway, sorry, totally off topic.
No.
Okay.
Commissioner reports?
Absolutely not.
There was just to briefly mention that CNSA, San Rafael, Ross Valley, and Corte Madera all coordinated on a project that took about 3 nights to do with release. They did it together, all of the agencies working together mutually to support each other, saved a ton of money and got it done really, really fast to put in the air relief valves in the city. And so that was, they worked all night to do it.
That was for the city of Corte Madera.
Yeah. Really,
we talked about that at our San Rafael Sanitation District meeting a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was good coordination. Everyone was very happy.
I had two items that I discussed with Jason in a little pre-meeting. One was the report published on pensions by the Larkspur
Larry Chu
and council member. And I wanted Jason to see if Jason, we can talk about it in closed session as well, to bring back a report at some time in the future that fits the schedule of the financial staff. Just a report on a couple numbers of just how much our OPEB costs us per $100 of employee salary, as well as the pension and sort of the growth of our pension obligations have been, just in two concise numbers. So to bring that back in a report on pensions. So I read through this report. It's very readable. And if you haven't, and if you have the time, it's well done. It's probably about the most readable pension report that I've ever looked at. The other item was, I don't know if you guys saw in the IJ, I brought up at last month's meeting just about microplastics, and there was last Thursday's article about microplastics and the reporting that's being done on it. And so Jason and I talked a little bit about potentially doing two things. One is maybe getting public information out to on our website about microplastics, and possibly looking at what other agencies have done and looking at their information on what they've done and putting that out on our website on how we can control at the source, not that we're at the end of the line, but how we can get the word out to the sources of every household almost to limit the flow of microplastics into the bay, which goes out our pipeline. And then also potentially if the board is interested in bringing in a speaker who wrote this report, which is a very local Bay Estuary Protection Agency, a nonprofit. So if you're interested in that. But we can also talk about it when we're in the closed session as well on this point.
Well, I'd absolutely agree with you on both, but as far as the pension, you know, it may be helpful. Rosslyn Sanitary purchased GovInvest. Are you familiar with that?
I think you've mentioned it here before.
Yeah.
And we mentioned it, I was familiar with it.
So you have to look at it and see if this board is interested in it, because it's really been helpful. After we purchased that, we're able to do real-time actuaries on our obligations, both OPEB and pension, are outstanding. And as a result of that, the board made it part and parcel of our rate increase study to put together a plan. And our new rate is 5 years. Our new labor agreement is 5 years. And with our new rate plan, we're going to fully fund our OPEB in 6 years and fully fund our pension in 12, which moving forward will save everybody money. So we have a plan in place. The only way we can get a plan is by getting the numbers and knowing the facts.
That's sort of where I'd like to start.
Yep.
I know Ken and Jason's staff have done a very good job of bringing that information forward to us as we reviewed the last two budgets. Now we're into a biannual budget, so I think an update report would be good at this time. The bottom line on that report is there's probably going to be a special districts and other public agencies coming up. So it's just, it's there, it's a cost to us, and it's just being a little more proactive on fully understanding it even better.
Yep.
Well, if we do this, maybe a topic, whoever would come talk to us at the last CASA meeting, they were discussing PFAS.
Yeah.
And they are now discovering how bad non-stick cookware, flame retardants, and even the flame retardant that they use in like pajamas for kids is just going straight into the water supply, and nobody's. This is the first time I've heard it at any of the meetings I've attended over the past 6 years, and everybody was pretty worried about it. Mm-hmm.
It's hard, very hard to control unless you're really stopping it at the source. But, so, anyhow, yeah. That's my report. Anyone else?
No.
Okay, next scheduled meeting is Tuesday, November 17th. November 12th, excuse me.
I just put it in my calendar. I'm like, wait a minute.
November 12th, sorry. My eyes are bad. So with that, we'll adjourn to a closed session.
I had a report.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jason.
That's okay. My report's a handout. Everything's spelled out on there.
Any questions on that? I read through it quickly and have no questions. Anyone else? No. Okay. We will adjourn the meeting and go into closed session.
It doesn't take like a 2-minute break or anything like that.